Psalm 34 has been on my heart for tonight, and I asked the Lord why. You know, when you're going to be expected to be prepared to minister God's word, those of you that have done that, you know how it is. You really don't want to just pull out some sermon and some Bible passage and talk about it. You want there to come something upon your heart and spirit that seems to be for this particular time. And I may not still know why Psalm 34 was so, but in these past few weeks, I had written down Psalm 34, verse 10 in my calendar. And so as I look back and begin to study that, why God had laid it upon my heart, I thought it would be good for us tonight to look into these first 10 verses. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And then I looked at the top, the heading of this psalm, and it says, written by David at a time when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. He was fleeing from King Saul. He felt that God wanted him to have a place of real influence and ministry in Israel, and of all things, Saul the king, who was at one point such a humble man before God, turned against David in jealousy and began to attack him and would have killed him, it appears, if he could have. But David kept escaping and escaping and escaping under the most difficult of circumstances, and starts off here by saying, I will praise the Lord. His praise will always be on my lips. And then I begin to think, is there somebody here tonight that has felt under your circumstances that you have continually had to just run from one bad situation to the next? And here it happened to this man, and he still would be able to say this, and it must be here for you and me tonight. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. You know, sometimes I think God allows us to go through things where we cannot boast so that we'll remember that our boast is to be in Him. Now, that may seem a little bit, warped in a sense of saying, well, wouldn't God rather I escape, hurtful disappointments or trials of faith and just let me grow some other way? But only God knows what it takes for us to develop in what the Bible says one day is to be to His praise and glory at His coming. Only He really knows what it's going to take for our lives to walk a path that will one day be all that it should be to His praise and glory at His coming. My soul will boast in the Lord, verse 2, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Well, if any of us here tonight are feeling the effects of affliction, and not just physically, but afflicted with some particular cause or need that really is thrust upon you, then let the afflicted hear David and rejoice and glorify the Lord with him, and let us exalt the name of the Lord together. So we've been exalting the name of the Lord here tonight, and none of us know how hard that may have been for someone here, some of you here, who have felt the weight of something upon you. But the affliction that you may have had, in a difficulty, again, the Lord wants to say to you tonight, listen, you keep your boast in me for what I've done for you in spite of anything else. Keep praise on your lips towards me. Glorify the Lord. Exalt His name. Almost as if to say, and see what I will do again. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Are you afraid of something tonight that appears to be a probable cause and a difficult situation? David said, I sought the Lord. Now, we know how to seek the Lord. We've been seeking the Lord in some level of seeking tonight. And maybe it got deeper and deeper as we went along and the earnestness of your heart towards God. Well, the Lord has seen your tears, and the Lord knows the brokenness of your heart if you are carrying a heavy weight. And the Lord sees what you're going through. And when you seek him, he answered David. David said, the Lord delivered me from all my fears. Now, that's something only God can do, I believe, in the way we need it done at times. And so this is for us. This is God's word. He is the Lord. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. So, you know, looking to him in the most difficult of circumstances, fleeing for his life, he still refused to let there be just a shame on his face. Where have I failed God? What's wrong with me? No, it's just circumstances that God's allowing right now, testing those who are doing something against you or testing you in some way. And the Lord would say, you know, keep your face towards me and your face is going to be radiant. And your face will not be covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him, verse 6. He saved him out of all his troubles. Thank God we serve a saving God, a delivering God, one who lifts your spirits, one who holds you up. Underneath are the everlasting arms of God. There's nothing to compare with everlasting. There's nothing to compare with the arms of God. And underneath are his arms. He is true to that. He's true to his word tonight. Amen. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And now taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman who takes refuge in the Lord. Now, that may be a lifelong challenge to continually take your refuge in the Lord. But let's keep on learning how to do it. We'll be blessed if we take refuge in the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his saints. In other words, reverence everything the Lord seems to expect of you. Reverence God's presence as holy. Reverence God's power as sufficient. Reverence his grace that is sufficient. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack how much? Nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry. That's those young ones, you know, that just feel like they can take the world by storm. But they may find themselves growing weak and hungry. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Oh, my. Lois Hodges turns 100 years of age next Tuesday. I just brought a little clip up here about an experience in her life just to kind of honor her tonight, as her 100th birthday is coming up. So if you want to write her a birthday card, this is a great time to do it. She and her husband, Melvin Hodges, served as missionaries, which took them to 34 countries of the world. Brother Melvin Hodges died some years back. Sister Hodges, her mind is sharp. She could write a book right now. She can tell you things that would amaze you. Once when she was traveling with her husband and their three children, ages 5, 3, and 2 months, they had a very dangerous mishap. They were on the MS Vancouver, a German ship en route to Germany for the 1936 Olympics, when it hit a reef in the Pacific Ocean that broke through both of the bottoms of the ship. And though only 90 minutes from the shore, it took 12 hours for coffee barges to come out and rescue them. Then a special wood-burning train was ordered to San Salvador, and by midnight, all the passengers had found rooms in a hotel. That's just one experience in a very small capsule of God's delivering, sustaining, keeping power over Sister Lois Hodges. Well, verse 9 says, fear the Lord and you will lack nothing that is a good thing for you. Verse 10 says, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. That agrees with Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And through the blood of Christ, there's a blamelessness, there's a purity, there's a cleanness, there's a wholeness in your life. Verse 10, we're encouraged to seek the Lord. If we seek the Lord, we expect to lack nothing that's good for us. Amen? Those of you that have lived a number of years, you're saying amen because you've seen it happen. Things that are good for us do include provisions for the physical body, shelter and clothing and moving about with little or no pain, we hope, and daily food and so on. Well, I couldn't help but bring another story up here about a lady on up in years. She lived next door to a man real skeptical of prayer and religion, and he constantly made fun of her faith and trust, her trust in God. And one day he decided to do something. He put a sack of groceries on her front porch and hid in the bushes nearby to see what she would do when she discovered them. So when she came out of the door and saw them, she said, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for meeting my needs." And he jumped out of the bushes. And he said, "Aha, you see, that was me that left the groceries on your porch and not God." She exclaimed, "No, God gave me these groceries. He just had the devil deliver them." Oh, boy. So some good things really are for the physical body. Then there are eternal things that are really good things that we don't, that God promises you won't have a lack for, our sins forgiven, receiving God's answer on something. Come on now. God answers. Being delivered from fear, Jesus said, "Fear not." Being saved out of troubles, this is a good psalm to just be reminded of when you feel like there's some trouble or the car breaks down or whatever may happen. The Lord delivers out of trouble, and he did it for Terrence. We heard him talk about it, and we have experienced it in some ways in many of our own lives. And I just kind of close with what really stirred my heart was to look in the concordance and just begin to look under the word good and see how many things I could just list all of a sudden that were good things that it says in that scripture. You seek the Lord and you will not lack any good thing, anything that's good for you. Psalm 52:9 says, "Lord, your name is good." Well, Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Psalm 112 says, "Good will come to him who's generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice." Proverbs 3 says, "You will win, let love and faithfulness never leave you, and you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." That's a good thing. Proverbs 15 verse 30 says, "Good news gives health to the bones." Maybe I've brought you some good news tonight. Are you going away from here with healthy bones? Proverbs 11:22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." We had a good laugh a few moments ago, didn't we? Proverbs 8:22, "He who finds a wife finds what is good." Now, isn't that nice the way the NIV says it? Come on now, some of you guys remember how it says it in the King James Version. "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing." She is not a thing. Just remember that. "He who finds a wife finds what is good." Proverbs 18:22. Proverbs 22, "A good name is more desirable than great riches." All right now. Isaiah 52, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings." We're talking about those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord's anointed me to preach good news to the poor," Jesus said. Good news coming to us. Jeremiah 6:16, "Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls." Again, seeking the Lord. Ezekiel 34:14, I will tend them or shepherd them in a good pasture. Good pasture. Matthew 13:8, "Still some seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown." Your good soil, you that seek the Lord will lack no good thing. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 9:8, "God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." 1 Timothy 3:7, the last one, A church overseer must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. A good reputation. A good reputation. Why on earth would any of us throw away a good reputation? How do you maintain a good reputation? Daily building yourself up through the Word of God and praying in the Spirit and watching God bring strength, bring good things. There were two verses, 9 and 10. Those who fear the Lord lack nothing, and those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So I just kind of leave that with you tonight. And as we keep seeking the Lord's face, you know, the Bible talks about different ways of seeking the Lord. This last sentence or two, I felt if we seek the Lord's face and His favor and His will and His ways in His Word and see how many good things come our way, even in difficult circumstances, we will be a fulfillment of the 34th Psalm, verses 1 to 10. Shall we stand together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. You are so great. Praise you, Lord, tonight. You are so good. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, Jesus. You made all this possible. We love you, Jesus. And whatever is good for us, and whatever those things that are good and right for our lives, Lord, whatever difficult circumstances, purge and purify and correct and discipline, let it come on, Lord. If it's good for us, bring it on. We trust you, Lord. Whatever is a good thing, Lord, thank you for it. As we seek you, Lord, we will lack no good thing. We just take your word tonight, Lord, with grateful hearts. We thank you, Lord.